This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. On Beacon Hill, the clock is ticking down on this legislative session. Lawmakers have just 5 days to complete work on a variety of major bills that could have a big impact on health care, criminal justice, and home ownership in Massachusetts. WBUR's Bianca Vasquez-Tonis is at the State House and joins us now. Hi, Bianca.
Hello, Anthony.
So just minutes ago, the House passed a foreclosure prevention bill. You want to tell us about that?
Yes, actually, they passed it unanimously. The bill came out of the conference committee this morning, and it requires banks to modify loans if it's cheaper than foreclosing. The final bill didn't satisfy everyone, though, because it didn't contain some of the provisions that the Senate passed, specifically a mandate to send the banks and homeowners to mediation if they're facing foreclosure. But here's Michael Costello, state representative of Newburyport, on how many homeowners could feel the impact of this bill.
I heard a lot of arguments about going after every loan. I think we were prudent in the loans we chose. I think that we grab, it's estimated based on some of the experts we dealt with some of the commissions that we've had established that this will grab over 100,000 loans will be eligible in this case with this piece of legislation.
So that's news that the House has just passed a foreclosure prevention bill. Bianca, let's move on to the highest profile bill. This one could change the way health care is paid for in Massachusetts. What's the latest on the status of the health care cost control bill?
The conference committee is still reconciling the bills from the House and Senate, and I'm hearing they won't get a compromise bill to lawmakers until Sunday or Monday.
So right up until the end.
Exactly. That means they could have a very short time, possibly one day, to digest and vote on a very complicated piece of legislation.
Another major bill, the so-called three strikes law, the habitual offender law that would eliminate the possibility of parole for repeat violent offenders, that has made it to Governor Patrick's desk. What's been his reaction so far, and is he going to sign it?
Well, he doesn't seem thrilled so far, since it doesn't do all of the things he was hoping for, namely give judges the power to determine sentences in some cases, rather than depend on mandatory minimums. Here he is yesterday talking to reporters.
It's a good bill. It's not a great bill. There's a lot of work that has not yet been done, and I'm hoping that I can get from the leadership a commitment to come back and do some of it at the beginning of the next session.
So, damning with faint praise there, Bianca. Does that mean the governor will sign the three strikes bill, do you think?
Well, he has a number of options, which he seems to be weighing. He could veto it, which would mean throwing out the entire bill, which took months and months to write, and includes parts that he really likes, such as a decreased mandatory minimum sentence for drug crimes. Or he could surgically amend the things he doesn't like, but as we saw in the budget process when he amended a few policy issues that he thought punished poor people or targeted illegal immigrants, the House and Senate were not afraid to override his amendments. So he could get into a showdown with the State House on this three strikes law, but another possibility is what he indicated in that cut, where he signs it with the understanding that the House and Senate will do more comprehensive work on this next session.
Okay, well, let's move on to a couple of things that may be working their way more quietly through the legislative sessions on Beacon Hill. Last week, the Senate tucked an expansion of the state's bottle deposit law into the Economic Development and Job Creation Bill. Does the bottle amendment have a chance of staying in that bill?
It does not look like it. So currently, soda cans and bottles carry a 5-cent deposit that's redeemable if you turn them into special recycling centers. Lawmakers want to add juice, water, and milk bottles, since that's what we all drink now, not necessarily Coke. But House members on the committee say it's a tax on consumers, and they are loath to raise taxes. House Speaker Robert DeLeo also opposes it for the same reason, so it's likely not going anywhere.
And Bianca, finally, another interesting bill advanced yesterday. The Senate passed a bill that would allow home daycare workers to unionize. Tell us a little bit about that and the fate of that bill.
Yeah, so this is a bill that would allow home daycare workers to collectively bargain for higher pay. These are the people who are paid by the state to care for low-income children in their homes. Right now, they are reimbursed about $28 per day per child, and they want to organize to get a higher salary. This bill would enable them to do that and also provide for training for these daycare providers. The House version has to go back to the Senate since it was amended in the House, but it could very well get signed before Tuesday.
So before Tuesday, so just a few days left. Is there a feeling up there, Bianca, of like deadline is approaching?
Like, we got
to get
cow.
Our it's like holy cow, we got a lot to do in a very short amount of time.
Yes, people are definitely very focused. Some people are frustrated. They feel like they don't get enough time. They don't even know what they're gonna do when they get here in the morning, much less the details of this complicated legislation they're asked to vote on.
Well, welcome to the sausage factory. WBUR's Bianca Vasquez-Tonis bringing us up to date on the latest flurry of political activity as Beacon Hill approaches the end of the current legislative session. Thanks, Bianca.
You're welcome.